Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
And to make me feel better about my increasingly terrible parenting skills,
each episode we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how well they're coping.
Or hopefully not.
And we will be hearing from you, the listener, with your tales of lockdown parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you are listening to Lockdown Parenting Hell with...
You say Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe.
That's
Redcon.
Thank you.
Aw. There we go. I cut him off. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know his name. My name is Kevin Hughes from Northern Ireland, and I absolutely love the podcast. I'm picking some great tips as I have one child, but my wife is expecting number two in May. Here is my three-year-old son, Oliver, with his attempt at the intro. Well, thank you very much, Oliver.
Good work, Ollie.
There we go. Now, Rob.
Yes, mate. We've got a special with me, pregnancy special.
Well, we promised. We've got some emails. You know, those stories we've had about people that gave birth without realising they were pregnant?
Yes.
Would you want a few more of them that we've had sent in? Because they blow your mind.
Oh, we've teased
every
it.
Every time.
Let's go for it. I still can't get my head around that. Anyone would be surprised, but let's do this. I'm ready for it. How's your week been, though, Josh? We should probably cover that quickly. Are you okay? All
yep,
good?
Yeah, fine.
Just nothing right. Happening, waiting for 8th of March. Yep, same here.
Right. Dear Rob and Josh. I, like yourselves, thought that not really realizing your pregnant stories were absolute bullshit and made up so... Yeah, I lost them.
It's your memory. It's like a pissed dog. It's just your memory. But I knew what every word was.
I, like yourselves, thought that not really realizing pregnant stories were absolute bullshit made up solely for the pages of Take a Break. However, that all changed when my 19-year-old niece walked in from her friends white as a sheet and shaking. She'd gone over to her friends and was greeted by her very panicked friend, covered in blood, and the words, "Get upstairs, my sister has just had a baby." My niece dropped her belongings, legged it upstairs and entered the bathroom to see what she described as a horror movie with a baby on the bathroom floor, and the sister stood stock still with a look of what the fuck just happened on her face. My niece very sweetly picked the baby up, wrapped it in a towel. Paramedics arrived within minutes of the baby arriving, so all was well. Basically, the sister... early 20s and about to go to uni, had her baby delivered by a group of 19-year-old girls.
Oh my, just all her mates.
Just her mates, her sister and her mates. She had complained about stomach pains and was in a bad way before the baby made an appearance. Other than that, she'd been having her period and going about her normal 20s carefree lifestyle. She had no idea whatsoever that what she thought was going to be a massive poo turned out to be a baby.
Oh my God.
Safe to say.
How'd you deliver a baby?
I... really wouldn't fancy my chances.
No disrespect to you, Josh, as well. But if I was in a house with someone giving birth and you was out in the corridor with a few other people, you would not be my first choice. I don't know why.
No.
And I don't think I would be other people's first choice.
No, exactly.
What comedian would you want to come in?
Oh, what? Like someone solid and dependable.
There's doctors like...
Jack D.
No, you can't have Jack. He's not a doctor, was he? Harry Hill was a doctor.
Oh, well, Harry Hill, yeah, obviously. Well,
Paul
doctor.
Sinner was a GP, but I don't think...
Paul Sinner, but I don't know about his bedside manner.
I tell you what, Paul Sinner could probably be a perfect doctor in that situation, but you would have to tell him the capital of a country during the labour. And I just couldn't do that.
Where did you conceive? And I will tell you the postcode.
Wow, okay, so she had no idea. Oh, my God. This is such a weird special. Poor Jamelia. What lead into Jamelia? People are going to be shell-shocked. And then Jamelia...
she loves the podcast, Rob. She loves the podcast.
She's a fan.
Absolutely adore the podcast, says this email. Please keep me anonymous, as I'm not entirely sure if my friend would want this story broadcast. Although it has become infamous at uni. When I was in my third year at uni, I had a sports coach who was a couple of years older than us. She was super lovely, but was having a bit of a rough time as she recently split up with her boyfriend. She'd split up with her boyfriend, who was another student at the uni, as she'd come to the realisation that she was in fact a lesbian, so she broke up with him. A few months on, she's doing better. One evening, she fails to turn up to one of our training sessions, which we all thought was weird as she's normally super reliable. Several phone calls and texts without an answer meant we had to carry on the training session on our own, leaving a text saying we hoped everything was all right. Things were not all right. My friend had been reffing another match earlier that day, suddenly collapsed with back pain. She'd been rushed to hospital, where she'd been told that she was, in fact, 4 centimetres dilated, mere minutes away from having a baby.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that.
You can be in hospital for, like, 2 hours trying to get to 4 centimetres. You know, where they're going, another centimetre. Reffing the game as well. I mean, you know, imagine that.
VAR's taking a lot of pressure off that job, though, Rob, so, you know. The baby was delivered.
It feels like they're bloody in labour, the amount of decisions that have gone wrong on bloody... Oh,
yeah. Quicker to give birth than it is to bloody judge an offside, isn't it? The baby was delivered and miraculously was completely healthy. 2 years on and both mum and dad are fantastically co-parenting, have a beautiful, healthy toddler. To answer your questions on how she didn't know she was pregnant,
yeah,
she was on a diet and was losing weight at the same rate the baby was growing.
That's mental.
She even commented on how much she was dieting. Yeah, wasn't losing any weight.
You'd be fuming, wouldn't you?
Absolutely livid. Due to complications as a teenager, she'd been told she was unlikely to have children.
Oh.
So birth control wasn't an issue. In that sense, a baby girl was something of a miracle baby.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And what was the score of the game she was reffing?
We won't do a special again. I think they're a strong taste to have too many of them in a row, Rob. We can
it's
both
quite
agree that.
Full on, yeah.
I do feel quite tense now.
Yeah, but... I do. I'd want me to find something off Instagram to chill you out.
Yeah, go on.
Here we go. Let me find Instagram ones. Here we go. But this is from Lauren. Just thought this tale would amuse you. My husband has put motion sensors for the lights in our hallway and upstairs landing, which sounds like the most dad move ever.
Yeah.
You keep leaving these lights on. Well, to understand the thought process behind this, the problem is if you are still for too long, then you are plunged into darkness. But then I would argue, who stood still in a hallway?
Yes. Yeah, it's not like those ones in toilets where you go in and they've got the motion sensor. Nah,
I think a hallway area is fine. Anyway, they were plunged into darkness. This happened to me and the three-year-old. I told him that the lights would come on if he stood up. He was amazed and immediately declared this happened due to his superpowers. Such continued a week where he kept switching on the lights of his superpowers and it was very cute and heartwarming. Fast forward to this week when he decides that if anyone else switches the lights on, that he will have a 5-minute screaming temper tantrum because he wanted to do it. And it is very hard not to accidentally turn on the lights and such. We have had the temper tantrum over and over again.
Oh, my word.
My husband won't take the motion sensors down and Hugo is showing no sign of lessening the intensity of his tantrums. Please send wine from Lauren. I think that's quite a bullshit move, motion sensors. In your house, I think it's too much.
Yeah, I mean, why do you need motion sensors in your house?
How much does it cost to have your lights on in the hallway a bit?
How bored have you been in lockdown that you've installed motion sensors in your lights in your house?
Oh, this one will annoy you, Josh. This is exciting, though. This is from Little Island Yogi. Hey, and 5 E's in the middle of hey. And I was like, why has that happened? And then when you read it, it explains why this person's so happy. When you get all this correspondence, this person, for some reason, is so much happier than everyone else that gets involved. Hey, Rob and Josh, in your last podcast, you asked for people to say where they're listening from. And I think I may be your only listener in the Seychelles.
Oh, come on.
I'm 28 and childless. I mean, I hate this person. 28 and childless in the Seychelles. Oh, my God. But I love your podcast. You make my drives around the island that much more entertaining.
Oh, my
P.S.
word.
Seychelles would be a great place for a live lockdown hell show as we're COVID-free and have sunshine all year round. Oh,
I don't
God.
Know if the overheads would cover the show.
Can we put a block on people being able to listen in the Seychelles? Because I'm not happy about this. Until we're out of lockdown, people that are in lockdown should be allowed to listen. That should be the new rule.
Yeah. If you're listening in New Zealand, piss off.
Oh, I think they're in a 5-dayer.
Oh, okay. Welcome back.
I don't know if they're still going. Welcome. Josh, should we introduce Jamelia?
Yeah, absolutely love this interview. She was honest. She was funny. She's got an amazing setup to talk about in lockdown. And also... it was amazing to talk to someone who was a fan of the show. Loved it.
That was nice, wasn't it? Normally we have to sort of embarrassingly explain what it is to someone much more high profile than us, haven't we? But luckily, Jamelia put the shift in. But yeah, enjoy the show. But Jamelia was lovely and really funny. So we'll see you after that. We'll chat after, won't we? Have you listened to the podcast, Jamelia?
I absolutely bloody love it. I begged my manager to email you guys. I was like, please, I want to be on it.
That's so lovely, Jamelia, because normally we have to pathetically explain it to the guests. But to know we've got you on board already, that's amazing.
So let me just tell you how and why I was compelled to be a part of this, because I'm such a big fan. I've listened to, I'm sure, every single episode, but every time I'm like, oh, yeah, but you haven't done it with both, have you? You haven't done it with teenagers and a toddler. And it's kind of like, you know, that parenting competition. Yeah. And I feel like I've won. So that's the only reason I'm here.
To claim your crown as the best parent in the UK.
Probably the worst, but yeah, one of them.
So what's your setup, Jamelia, at home? Can you explain it to us and the listeners?
Gosh, how much time have you got? So I've got a 19-year-old. She's going to be 20 in March. I've got a 15-year-old. And then I've got a bonus son who is my husband's son. And then I have a toddler who's just turned 3.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Here we go.
Have I won?
Oh, God, that is a real combo. Are they all in the? Have they been all in the house over lockdown, or is
so? As some step parents will know, in lockdown you have kind of rules where the stepchild can. I hate the term stepchild, by the way, which is why I called him my bonus son. But he's been back and forth, which. As someone who's a little bit of a germaphobe, I'm a bit like, yeah, but what's he doing when he's there? And he still goes to school because his mom's a key worker. So I'm like, yeah, but who's he in the class with? And it's just, yeah, but then obviously, you know, he comes here and, you know.
Hose him down in the garden and let him in.
Yes. No, I'm joking. We don't do that.
And how old's he? How old is he?
He's 10. 10. No, sorry, he's 11. Oh, that's really bad. He's 11, just turned 11.
So in the house sort of full-time, you have a 20-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old daughter, a 3-year-old son.
Daughter.
And then your bonus son that comes and goes between the parents.
Yes.
And oh my God, so that is, so you've there, I genuinely think this is a top Trump winner here. You've got... A toddler, a bonus son, and then teenage daughters, and a daughter that's turning into a 20-year-old woman.
Do you know what, Rob?
Exactly.
When we start an interview, occasionally, I think, "Poor, is there going to be enough in this for 45 minutes?" This one, I'm like, "Where the fuck do I start?"
Oh wow! Oh, Jamelia, this is outrageous.
So let's start with a 3-year-old, Jamelia.
Yeah. So let's start with her.
Does the rest of the family, does that actually make having a 3-year-old easier? Because she can be, you know, there's, as presumably your 19-year-old and your 15-year-old are kind of, you know.
You know, people always say that, oh, you've got live-in babysitters. No, you haven't. You really haven't. I'm sorry. You just haven't. They participate and they help when they feel like it. And a live-in babysitter, you're paying them and you've got to do it when we tell you to do it. So it's not the same. I've even offered them money, by the way, and they still don't help. So that's just a myth. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. My 19-year-old is very helpful, but I still kind of, okay. So here's the thing. I'm working from home, which is really weird for me. And so I'm kind of like saying to them, I need the nursery experience. So I need it to be as if I've sent my daughter off to nursery, but I don't necessarily want to send her to nursery. Which is why she's now currently just been dropped off to nursery, because it didn't bloody work. And that's basically where we are. The live-in babysitter thing is just a total myth. And at the same time, you know, I did push her out. They didn't ask for her. You know, it's just...
Yeah. Also, I think it's hard to get a 15-year-old girl to tidy their bedroom, never mind look after a child for 8 hours.
As you realise, I didn't mention the 15-year-old. She just no.
No, a non-starter on helping with
this. Yeah, just no. Because it's like you leave her. I'd leave, my youngest is called True and she's 3, and you'd leave her. And I'm telling you, within 10 minutes, there's some altercation. They argue. She's only 3, but she argues with the 15-year-old. Or it's always carnage. Or one of them starts crying. It's just like, okay, I just can't be bothered. Just give it to me.
And is the 15-year-old, she homeschooling then?
So I was homeschooling her before.
That was a big So, as if you're like,
let's break this down.
You'll notice I said was. Okay, so I was homeschooling her for 2 years before lockdown.
Oh, wow.
The thing is, with homeschooling, traditionally, you get to go out, you get to, you know, you still get to socialize. And it's been totally different to the point where we've signed her up for school. Obviously, this was before we've had another lockdown. Yay. So we've signed her up for school. And so now I don't do any of the schoolwork with her. She's doing it through school. And so she's still kind of homeschooling.
And does she do it?
That's the thing. That's what's so annoying. Like when I was homeschooling her, it was such a chore just to get her to, you know, do anything or get the work done. But let a teacher online, Miss Harris online, say, right, you got to do this. Oh, beautifully presented. Like all of her work is just gorgeous. I'm just, but you know, whatever it takes to get us through the day.
Cool. So what was it homeschooling when it was, so you homeschooled for 2 years when there wasn't any lockdown. It was just, she could have gone to school she wanted, but you decided to do homeschooling.
Yes.
And why did you choose that option and how was it?
Do you know what? She had a rough time when she first started secondary school. So she was year seven. Mm-hmm. And also I had just had, True at the time. So there was a lot of change, a lot of time. And I really feel like it affected her mental health. And so I just thought, you know what, the best thing, I've homeschooled my daughters on and off throughout the years anyway. So I just thought, okay, well, you know, come home. I could teach you. I've done it before. And it was fine. We were absolutely fine until the bloody lockdown.
Yeah, because it does. You can't go out, you know, and do anything outside, or if they say go for a run, or go, you know, you still sort of do that. But like, there's no socialising at all.
We do things like go trampolining for PE and stuff like that. So it was fun.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it wasn't all. But now it's just like you can't. I mean, we have got a trampoline.
Yeah, but it's not the same as the big trampoline centres,
exactly,
is it? That's like,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't recreate
that's
it.
That's the Willy Wonka of the trampoline world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How's your trampoline gone down, Rob? Was it the hit it was worth? I haven't really asked.
Yeah.
To be fair, it went up on Christmas Eve, and then it's been pretty much 0 degrees since then. And they sort of go on it for about 10 minutes and say they're cold, but no, they do love it. And they whenever it's like not warm enough weather and the sun's out a bit, they've been going on it. So I think the summer's where it's really going to hit home. But yeah, I wouldn't rush to do another one at Christmas. But it did have a good impact on when they opened it.
Would you go back to homeschooling after the lockdown, Jamelia?
I think I'm traumatised. I'm not going to lie. As I said, like my youngest, I had no intention of sending her to nursery. She's now in 4 days a week. I'm not joking.
Those days creep up, don't they? This week we were discussing going from 3 to 4 and I thought it's a very slippery slope. We're going to be at 6 before we know it, mate.
eight days a week.
You could stay overnight and nurse her a couple of nights, couldn't you?
Oh, my God.
It's good for us.
Someone is missing a trick there.
I think Josh is one more lockdown away from a boarding school. That's fine. The coach picks you up from Euston. I'll drop you off at the bus stop. Just get yourself to Euston. And then, you're in the countryside for 8 months.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'd be really intrigued to hear like how many people have kind of like changed their ethos. Like I've always been like so passionate about homeschooling and stuff, but yeah, the lockdown has broken me. I was diagnosed with something called separation anxiety, which is usually something that kids have for their parents, but I had it for my children.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that. Yeah. I didn't realize it was a thing. And now a lockdown has cured it. I swear, it's not even a joke. I am cured. I am so happy to send my children out the door now. Like, yeah, go. I sent the kids off sledding down this massive hill. I'd never even actually been to the hill. We've got loads of snow at the moment in Birmingham. And so there's this huge hill, so dangerous. I'm like, yeah, go on.
That's a positive. It's a positive. How would that separation anxiety manifest then before lockdown? Would you just, you couldn't be apart from them with like nursery and school, or was it, you was a bit protective, like with the snowy hill and stuff?
So it kind of manifests itself in like you have these crazy thoughts. So we were trying to put my youngest into nursery before the lockdown, and I just thought, oh gosh, but what if she falls and nobody sees her, and then, you know, and then she's in a corner for the whole day, and it just really like silly, crazy, like
catastrophic thinking, isn't it? Yeah. Where it just gets worse and worse and more sort of extreme and ridiculous. Yeah,
exactly. To the point where when we first were trying, I was sitting outside the nursery for like 4 hours. It was just, you know, it was ridiculous. Now,
oh, yeah.
My husband brought her in. I was like, oh, yeah, see ya, take care. Like, she's off out the door this morning. It's not like I couldn't care less, but I'm like, you go and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's the thing. Break. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, well done. Yeah. That's such an achievement, because that is, you know, it can really affect your life. If you're that worried and you're not being, and it's sort of debilitating you to a point, you're just waiting outside the nursery.
Yeah, I mean, it really did, like, from, sorry.
What's
brilliant.
That?
I'm not even going to check.
I'm not going to check. You're fully cured. You're not even checking.
I just don't want to know.
I think that's the thing. Sometimes it's best not to know, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got to sort itself out. Like, I'm sorry.
Do you think it's just lockdown that helped with that? Or have you had any therapy, or have you been reading any books about the help with that? Or do you just think it's, you know, being around them all the time has helped?
Honestly, I think it's lockdown. Honestly. And as I said, I'm not trying to make light of it, because it is a real thing.
Of course.
But it's just, it's just little things like, you know, you need time away from me because I need time away from you. And, you know, it's, and I think because I'm a working mother, I was naturally getting that. So even though I had separation anxiety, I think I was still getting, you know, a kind of a relief when I was working, or when, you know, just, I don't know, even going shopping or something, I don't know. But I think kind of that concentrated time every single day, I just thought, okay, you guys need to leave. Not bad.
Oh, that's great though. You know, it's a real positive thing to come out of it.
It is.
Because you've got like you've got the full spread of ages now in your house.
Yeah.
As you've top Trump declared. So who? What age do you think it's hardest for, and what age do you think it's hardest for to, as a parent, to look after? Would you say that the 19-year-old sort of having it the toughest, that they can't go out and enjoy themselves? But then I suppose it's easier to parent a 19-year-old.
So my 19-year-old, I think she's kind of more, logical about it, whereas my 15-year-old is just like, this is not fair. And, you know, and she started a petition, I need to go to school. And as soon as the doors open, I want to go to school. So I think it's been hardest for my 15-year-old, even though she's not really, I wouldn't describe her as like a social butterfly, but I think she's found it the most difficult. You know, like when somebody just changes the rules. So it's like you probably weren't allowed to do something anyway, but when they tell you, you actually can't, you can't go out, you can't socialise, then, you know, you really want to. And I think that's what she's going through.
And would she be doing her GCSEs this year, or would that be next year?
It would be next year that she's doing them. So that's what she's, training for. She's studying. Studying. Yeah, that's what she's studying.
Training for.
Yeah, I was like, what's the terminology?
Learning. I think it's learning, is it?
Learning. There we go. Yeah, that one. Such a knob. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think my 15-year-old has found it hardest. And parenting my 15-year-old has been the hardest, for sure, because she's just, it's like that transition between child and adult, and she doesn't quite fit and she doesn't quite know, and it's just everyday conflict. And I have to tell you an added thing that Rob, you've got this to look forward to.
Oh God.
So we've got this thing in our house called Shark Week. Have you ever heard of Shark Week? Do you know what that is?
Is that on National Geographic? Were they it's a show show.
It is, okay, it is also a show on a okay. Geographic, but it's also what I think a man came up with it, by the way, what some people call being on your period. But oh, when okay. I know you guys and you don't want to talk about it, but you've got girls and you're
talking about it.
Yeah, you're going to need to know this. So something to do with the moon, please get someone to email in or whatever, let you know exactly what it is. But something to do with the moon causes all the females in the house to be on their period at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so my husband, like, he goes to B&Q for, like, 8 hours, like, and it's just like, so yeah, I guess we're almost on number 12, our 12th lockdown shark week. So,
oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, wow. But you all acknowledge it and you've called it shark, like, that's a good way of kind of.
Yeah, there was a point where at first my husband was like, what the hell is going on? And then we kind of realised it. I mean, we'd always known, but it wasn't a thing. But when you're all on lockdown, you can't help but it be a thing. And yeah, and so, yeah, periods are something that we just talk about. And it's just like, yeah, okay, so this is happening. This is why I'm being an absolute bee. And, you know, and not you just have to deal with it, but just let. Can everybody just tread carefully?
Yeah, so it's sort of like an accepted thing. And then that way he's not going to get in trouble for moaning and then you're not being defensive. It's sort of another thing. It's all going to be a bit tetchy this week. It's shark week. Let's just keep the heads down and plow through it. Okay.
Exactly. But yeah, as I said, you've got that to look forward to.
That's a great term.
Yeah. Can't wait for that. And I'm really regretting getting a female hamster and a female cat.
Definitely.
A tsunami of sharks. And is he working from home or how's that?
So even that, like, you know, there's it's not an argument, but it's just like an unsaid rule of whose work is more important, who needs this. Because we've had a couple of COVID outbreaks at the nursery. I think it's two maybe. So for those times, if anyone's been in contact with True, then we've got to do the 14 days. And it's just like, yeah, but who really needs to get their work done today and who needs and what's important? And we've got it down to like, well, what is this going to generate money? Is this going to,
everyone's house is like a ballroom.
Okay,
God, let's cut the crack. What's that bringing out? What's the ROI on that? Like, it's a fucking email. I've got to send an email. I'm at work.
literally. Every month, how much money have you made? How much money have you made
for
the company?
Obviously, productivity took a hit in Shark Week, to be expected. However, we're looking at a boom here. Week after, you should hit back to full balls.
And what's it like? So is it a different experience having did you call it a bonus child?
Yeah, bonus son, yeah.
And I'm interested in that situation where, you know, initially, how do you approach the parenting in that situation?
So, honestly, you go through these different stages. Now, the first goal is I just need this child to like me. Because obviously, if he doesn't like me, then that's a problem for me and the dad.
Yes, so it's weakness, that kind of thing. Do all the wrong things in the long term to win a fraction early door.
Literally. And so I did start off as Mary Poppins, and then it was just like, but then obviously the girls, being girls, were just like, oh, he's not fair. You treat him different and da-da-da. And it was like, okay. So then you have to change tack. I've changed the goalpost, at least 400 times. And there's no right or wrong answer. I think just do whatever feels right in the moment. Like, and another thing that we contend with is the fact that he has another home and he has another... It's kind of like another set of rules. Like when he's at home, he can get up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And like, we're just like, absolutely not. That's just not going to happen here. You know, and
he gets jet lag when he goes between the two homes.
Literally. Yeah. So, and so there's that to kind of contend with, that he does have another set of rules. So we don't want to confuse him, but then at the same time, because we've got other children, he's got to kind of get in with our kids as well.
Yeah.
And it's all a bit political sometimes, but I just kind of feel like I treat him, he is my son. That's how I look at it. He's my son, and he's, you know, but just be gracious and understanding of the fact that it might be, you know, he might have like a bit of jet lag and a bit of rules jet lag as well. Just like, you know, getting to grips with our rules and how they differ from his mum's house.
Yeah. Has there been any moments when you were first sort of like, you know, meeting him and stuff like that, where you just thought, oh, this is getting out of hand here. I've gone too far. When you're trying to like make him like you, have you caught yourself in a situation thinking, this looks desperate. Come on.
Yeah. I think, do you know what? I think the first one of those was like, this is going to sound really bad, but like I was really pushing him to race me. I was like, come on, race me. Like, it's, you know, we need to have a race. But the problem with me is I'm really competitive. And so I had to win the race, and I just kept winning the races. And I was like, okay, well, this is not, I kind of wanted to let him win, but I was just like, no, I need to win the race. It's just, it's really silly, but it was just kind of like, yeah, I got that wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that does sound an insane tactic.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're meeting your new bonus son, right? Let's have a race, but insisting that you beat him every time seems like no wonder he sleeps until 1 o'clock. You've done 400 meters 8 times.
Oh my gosh, my husband's the worst though. My husband, like, he has them doing like bleep tests and stuff like that. I think secretly he wanted to be like a football manager or something.
Oh, right.
And like, yeah, I'm just not involved.
You're doing tests. I used to hate the bleep tests so much. Did you do bleep tests, Rob?
Yeah, I was terrible at it. I was
awful.
I used to be so humiliating.
Yeah, there's probably you can run. Have you seen? He's got no lungs. I've got no legs. We've got between us.
Are you proper sporty, Jamelia?
Do you know what? I'm not particularly. I love kind of competitive sports and stuff like that, but I'm definitely not. You know, I don't go to the gym and stuff like that. I'm currently doing this 75 day challenge. Have you ever heard of 75 hard?
No.
Yeah, but I took that pill in Thailand and regret it ever since. A nightmare flying home. Powerful stuff out there. I'll tell you what, day 76 is a relief.
You're so silly. It's this challenge anyway, and we were just like, right, we're all gonna do it. It's so silly, but it's so hard. Oh my gosh.
So what do you have to do?
So you have to do like 2 45-minute sessions of exercise, and take this from someone who doesn't do any exercise to doing 2 45-minute sessions a day. And one of them has to be outside, yes, a day. You have to drink 3 liters of water. It's supposed to be like a mental toughness challenge.
Wow.
And yeah, and if you miss out any one thing from this 75 hard on any day, you have to go back to the beginning.
Oh my God. So you're giving away an hour and a half of each day in lockdown. So it's 2 45s and the water. Is there any other things you need to do?
Yeah, right. You have to. Well, the thing is, I've kind of adapted it. I'm doing like I've adapted it, and then I'm kind of I've got people on my Instagram joining in. So on my one, it's the 2 45 sessions, 3 liters of water. You have to write some affirmations, gratitude. You have to read 10 pages of a productivity book every day.
No wonder you're having to send your children to nursery, Jamelia. Part-time
job. Have you ever forgot about the water and that's down 3 litres before bed? Absolutely.
Every night. And I go to the toilet about 5 times a night. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's just, you know, you're just like, why the hell did you decide to do this? Why?
You do like a challenge though, because you did the SAS show as well, didn't you? That was...
No, the Bear Grylls Mission Survive I did.
Oh, Bear Grylls Mission Survive, that one, sorry. Basically the same show though, innit? But with Art and
Men. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. The girl one. Yeah, that one, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. You know what? I absolutely love that. And the reason I did that was because I was scared of everything. I was scared of heights, I was scared of dirt, I was just scared of everything. And so they asked me to do it and I was just like, do you know what? I think that would be good for you, you know, because yeah. Also as well, I feel like fear is catching, and like I'm scared of cats, and I'm scared of horses. And I felt like my daughters were becoming scared of the things that I was scared of. So I was like, okay, just throw yourself into this.
Yeah,
and on the first day, they kind of like woke you up. First day, you start off in a hotel room and they're like, right, come on. Yeah, similar to the SAS thing. Shouting at you had to get your bags, grab your bags, run, and you ran, and you ended up in a helicopter, and then they told you to jump out. And I was just like, well, this can't be day one. This can't be the first thing. And the thing is as well, before you do the show, you have like an interview, and they're like, oh, you know, so what type of things are you scared of? Me, like an idiot, of course, I told them that I'm scared of horses, and I'm, you know, scared of heights, scared of everything I said, apart from the cats, were in the show. Yeah. I had to ride a horse for like 4 hours, and you know, but it got me over my fears. It's, you know, oh, it was brilliant. Yeah, I loved it, and I really loved what I got from it as well.
Can I just check, you're afraid of cats?
Yeah, I'm petrified.
We snuck that one past, didn't we?
I just think they're evil, don't you think?
Yeah, to be honest, I've got a cat and I hate him. I don't know what it is. It does my nut in. They ruin the house, but I've got any other pets. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of cats. Lou wanted the cat. We got it ages ago.
Yeah.
On the water before, I drank a load of water before bed 3 nights ago. Had to get up to go for a piss in the middle of the night. And I thought, I don't do that. Is this what being old is like? Absolutely rubbish. To wake up at 4 o'clock and think I've got to walk into another room. I couldn't believe if that's what old people do every night.
Haven't you got an ensuite, Josh?
Yeah, but it's still a different room.
Yeah. But when you get old, you don't walk into a different room, you just lay in the bed and piss. That's when you get really old. You're not at that stage yet. You're doing all right.
I genuinely was like, this is as bad as a child wake up. This.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you mean, so how was you with leaving your kids when you did the Bear Grylls thing? Or do you, because it's work in your head, does that feel like it's okay to go?
I think that's exactly what it was. So when I did the Bear Grylls thing, I was gone for about a week. And yeah, I kind of, that was the longest I'd ever left my kids. And I feel like when I did it, maybe my separation anxiety was like compartmentalized or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was fine if I was going to work, but I couldn't do things like, I couldn't just like frivolously go out or just go clubbing, or I just wouldn't do that.
Yeah, if it was just for you socializing, but you could justify in your head if it was work, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. But if I had like 2 days of work, then I could go out in between because I was going to be away for the 2 days. So it would be fine.
It's nowadays your brain sets little rules up that make no, that is bollocks, isn't it? But if you just thought it in your head, it's like the weird little rules.
Exactly.
Because I do that all the time. I'm going to just start not listening to my head.
Rob, you started that 10 years ago. I've observed your career. Come on, mate.
Think less.
If there's one piece of advice you don't need, it is think less.
Think less, yes. That's what I've got to do more of, Josh. The more I think, the more stressful it gets. All the greatest thinkers look tired. Stephen Fry, he's well good at thinking. He always looks a bit upset. He suffers as well, poor Stephen Fry.
Thinking
less is a way forward.
Overthinking is a thing.
You've got a much better theory, haven't you, Rob, which is any worry or any kind of fear, you just compress it down into your body and you don't think about it to create a kind of angry ball that one day will be unleashed in an 8 out of 10 cats based diatribe. Jimmy Carr.
Let's be honest, I'll be in the jungle covered in snakes, won't I? I've had it all unleashed, just full of fury. And I have to take it off air because I've attacked all the snakes and killed them.
You bit the head off a snake and then attacked Anton Deck.
I wanted a half a camp!
Oh my God.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency Design, Future Formula, a personalized anti-aging formula prescribed by a dermatology provider to treat fine lines, wrinkles, dark spots, and more. Agency has clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than over-the-counter retinol. Future Formula by Agency. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling, subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Would you do the jungle, Jamila? I mean, with your fears now, I think they will just put loads of cats on you at some point.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I've been asked so many times. You know what? Let me tell you what it is. I don't even think it's the bugs and all of that. I think it's the people. I think they're very strategic about who they put in there with you. And I think it's intentionally to irritate. And I just, because the thing is as well, not to sound a bit scary, but like where I'm from, like originally, that's always going to be in me. And I'm always scared that if I spend too much time on TV, it's going to come out if someone pees me off. And it's just like...
Are you saying you've got a bit of a temper? You've got a bit of a, you know, a bit of edge here, Jamila, that can... That you hide your belly. But if you're, you will have a fight on the street. Is that what you're saying, Jamila? You've got it in you. You have a ruck outside
apart. Under the right circumstances or the wrong circumstances. And that's my fear.
Is the right circumstances sharing a camp in Australia with Noel Edmonds? Is that the circumstance that you're worried about?
I think that would be it. Yeah.
You know what's good about this, Jamila, is you just added more money to the fee they're going to offer you. She hates cats and she will fight someone. What a booking.
Oh my goodness.
And then who would you have at the end of the bridge though? Would you have all the kids or just your husband?
It would probably just be my husband because it would be like, oh, we could have a little holiday by ourselves. That would be nice.
Yeah, fair enough. You've really got over this separation anxiety, haven't you, Jamila? You've been in the jungle for 3 weeks, so you're having a 2 week holiday with your husband. The 3-year-old walking herself to nursery.
This is terrible. I just have to say this. I really do adore my children. Like, I adore them. I really do. I just need to put this out there because
that's very clear. It's very clear that you used to adore your children, but you got over that. That's very clear.
And for a year, lots of therapy in lockdown. You know, you're over it. You're over being a mum.
That's another thing I need to mention. During lockdown, we started getting family therapy as well.
Oh, did you?
Do you know what? It's been fantastic. So that is something that I would highly recommend.
So how does it work? Would all of you... Not, I imagine the 3-year-old wouldn't be involved in that.
I mean, the 3-year-old's there, but it's only because she can't be anywhere else. she's not participating.
So you're all sat on the sofa on Zoom? And so who'll it be? You and your husband, your two daughters and your son?
Depending on whether or not he's here, but and we just talk about, you know, any issues.
Genuinely, that must be such a useful kind of thing
it's fantastic, honestly. I'd highly recommend it. And I know, like, you know, growing up, like, I grew up in inner city Birmingham, and therapy is just like, I don't even think it was in our vocabulary, you know. But to be able to do that, especially like with teenage children, and obviously remember as well, like, my husband and I are trying to have a relationship as well, and it's, you know, there's a lot going on, and but it's been fantastic. And, you know, sometimes we won't even talk about the things in the week, and we just save it for our therapy session, because it's kind of like she'll guide you through your problems and how to communicate correctly with each other, and also to exercise empathy, which I think sometimes is quite hard when it's all going on, all kicking off.
Have you seen a big difference from that then?
Oh my gosh, a huge difference. And it's a really positive difference as well. You know, just even knowing how to communicate correctly, understanding each other. We've been talking about this thing called transactional analysis, which is each person has different elements to them. You have a child, you have a parent, we also speak about how you can affect who your child becomes and stuff like that. It all gets a bit deep sometimes, but it's really important.
Therapy can get a bit deep. That's kind of...
I'd say you won't get your money's worth if it works. Yeah. How you doing? All good? Well, you had a pizza on Saturday. Quality. See you next week. Yeah, true, I think if true. My mum and dad and my brothers, all of us sat down to do family therapy, it would basically be a lockdown 4. We wouldn't get up for about 2 years.
Yeah. I must say, like, I definitely feel like, gosh, we should have did this when we were younger. Like, my mum should have did this. Well, I mean, she probably wouldn't have been able to afford it. But, you know, it's, I mean, it's not, like, hugely expensive. But as I said, inner city Birmingham, 90s. Not, yeah. You know.
Well, it was, sometimes, obviously, it can be costly, therapy and stuff like that. But I think more the idea of it at a point growing up, for me, certainly in sort of, you know, I think a probably similar background, but in London, is that it's even more almost like a sign of admitting defeat. In a weird way, which it totally isn't. And I did therapy years ago on the NHS, and then I did it privately like last year, and it made a massive difference. Yeah. Both had the same results.
And were your children, did they take convincing, or were they like up for it? And question two, what's it like on Shark Week?
Double bubbles. They should charge you double.
No, she won't even. She'd just be like, no, not
I'll see you in a fortnight, guys. I've set my calendar.
Yeah.
Just log on. Okay, you're all crying and your husband's at B&Q. Okay, let's leave it this week.
Yeah, leave it.
Were the kids, like, what was their approach to it?
Do you know what it was? It got to a point, you know, what did they say when things come to a head? It got to a point where it was just like, okay, well, someone's gonna kill or be killed. It's just one or the other. So let's bring someone in. So we were all very receptive and all on the same page. And as I said, it's been fantastic, like, you know, life changing. And I mean, even now we still see her, and I don't really feel like we need to see her, but we kind of just like.
Yeah,
doing
I think
it.
Sometimes it is sort of like you need a few sort of.
It's just nice to see anyone at the moment, isn't it? Even if you're paying them, it's just nice to see anyone.
Look, I think a good therapist, so it makes you become your own therapist. I think there's an initial series of chats you have to have, but then they can start. You start to realise your behaviour and patterns of behaviour, and how to adjust. Are there any big arguments with the, you know, your teenage daughter, like, that led to needing this kind of thing? Was there things that you're arguing about a lot in lockdown?
Honestly, my eldest daughter, she's a bit of an angel. We don't argue about anything, not anything at all. My 15-year-old is the whirlwind, and she, I say that she needs to be like a lawyer or something. She can fight something to the death, like, and it's just
so,
like,
she might be one or need one.
Let's hope it's not the latter, please, dear Lord. I'm putting too much, please. I don't need that. No, she's, and that's the thing. I always say, as an adult, all of these attributes are going to be incredible for her. But as a child, as my child, bloody hell, it's a lot. It's a lot. So, she's definitely the one, I think, who's, well, she's just at that stage where, you know, it's kind of like a second toddler phase, where she's pushing boundaries, and, you know, and it's just like, oh, for crying out loud, really. And that's the thing, I've got the two of them at the same time. My toddler is pushing boundaries and being cheeky, and, you know, and I don't know, I guess she's testing the waters. But yeah, it's a lot. And I don't want to come across as all complainy, because it's not all bad, but it definitely can get quite hairy.
Complicated.
Yeah, let's say that.
Do you find it more difficult to talk about your teenage daughters than you would about, say, a 3-year-old or stuff? Because are you worried about what you would say about them in public?
In a nutshell, yeah. Because I kind of, well, first of all, I know my kids are going to listen to this because they love the show as well. So, I am definitely conscious of what I say. But the thing is as well, like, I would like to think that I communicate enough with my daughters for them to know exactly what I think of them, you know, and how much I love them and how amazing I think they are. And also as well, I'm their mom. They're so used to me being outspoken and saying things and embarrassing them, and like, oh my God, did your mom really say that? And it's just like, yeah, she did. That's what she's like, you know? So, I don't think they'd be, you know, too upset. I hope not, anyway.
No, I think that's it, isn't it?
You should be honest. They can't complain.
If you're open at home, and, you know, I think that's so much of the battle, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. Communication is key. That's, number one. Apart from with the toddler. That's, I mean, as you know, it's just part of it.
That's very much about number 8 with the toddler, isn't it?
gosh.
Do you feel like she gets away with a bit more though? Like, how's your parenting changed from having a 20-year-old to like a 3-year-old now? Like, are you a lot calmer and more laid back than you were with your firstborn?
Yes, definitely. I think with my 20-year-old, I say this all the time, like my 20-year-old and kind of my 15-year-old, they were kind of tester kids. And then I feel like I can give my best to my youngest just because I feel like I know what works. I've tested what works and I've tested what doesn't work. And also my eldest two are very different to each other. So I've gotten a feel for, I feel like, two ends of the spectrum. With my youngest, I mean, let me tell you one thing. Lockdown has definitely changed. I was that parent that my child is never going to even touch an iPad until she's six. And, you know, and I was that parent, and now she's, you know, I've got an iPad, but it's more or less hers. And I just, oh my gosh, I saw this wicked quote the other day and it said, if you're worried about your child watching too much TV, put it on mute, put the subtitles on, and then they're reading. And I thought, do you know what?
Yeah.
That's a shout.
As well, I do think though, if you're worried about your kid watching too much TV, then the reality is you haven't got too many worries in your house. I mean, growing up, me watching too much TV was the last thing anyone was worrying about with what was going on. That's really, you've got to get yourself lucky because there's, you know, people that are worrying about, you know, getting them to school or whatever, or getting their dinner on. So
exactly.
A bit of telly won't hurt no one. It didn't do me any harm.
Nah.
Yeah, it's not going to be Marcus Rashford's next campaign.
No, exactly.
The problem is, because for me, though, I was going, I'm all right. I couldn't even read properly until I was about 7 or 8. But I say that to Lou, and she looked at me in disgust, going, but that doesn't make it okay.
I'm like that with the potty training. Like, so we've been potty training the whole of lockdown, by the way, which shows you that it's still not working. And for me, it's just kind of like, but do you know any adult that wears a nappy? Like, no, yeah. So she's going to work it out at some stage,
it'll
isn't
she?
Fine.
And,
yeah, she'll be fine.
I can see you on this morning in about 15 years going, yeah, so she does wear a nappy all the time now. I always said, I've never seen one, but here she is.
I have a prototype. Oh, my goodness. The thing is, with the potty training, and I know you guys have mentioned it, sometimes she's absolutely fine, and then sometimes she just spends the whole day wetting herself, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, what is this?
Yeah.
And, you know, people always say girls are easier. I mean, easier than what? I don't know, because I've only had girls, but this one isn't. And
yeah.
I think that always, like, boys are like this and girls are like this. It's not always the case. It makes you go, oh, right, so now that if we had a boy, it would be this different because they're worse sleepers or whatever. But like, there is different types of boy and different types of girl. You know what I mean? It's not a...
Absolutely. Well, I've got three girls and each girl has been completely different to the other. My youngest, she's... I actually put a post on my Instagram the other day. She's as much into princess and sparkly things as she is into toys and building and stuff.
She dresses as a princess with a screwdriver. It's lovely.
Yeah. And they're literally like two of her favorite toys in one picture. And I was like, I've got to like share this. And, you know, and I just don't subscribe to that whole, you know, boys are like this and girls are like this. Like, they're all just people and they're going to be who they are. Like, I was quote unquote a tomboy when I was younger, but I just think I was an adventurous girl. I liked to climb trees, I liked to go on the swings. I had two younger brothers and I was just like, I wanted to play with them all the time, and I just kind of feel like, you know, at this stage, who cares?
And I balanced that the other way in that I spent my whole childhood as a boy hating climbing trees. I couldn't imagine anything worse than climbing a tree.
So there you go. We're the examples. Yeah. Like,
well,
there
you go.
We're a bit different. You've got their ear pierced at 2 months and they have makeup on every day. So we've got that. You know, each to their own. People like that. We was like, let's not get gendered toys. We'll just let them play with whatever they want to play and we'll get both and then they can choose. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then when they start going to play groups, both of them immediately screamed and ran over to the babies and prattled. I think the good thing is you have to be like fair and let them pick. But when they do, just go, all right, fair enough. They like pink and they like babies, right? Where some people I know are still trying to make them all like hipstery.
Exactly.
It's bullshit. They want to wear a dress and push a baby around in a pram. That's fine.
Oh, mate.
Absolutely.
I turned up to nursery this morning with my own child dressed in a Frozen jumper and Frozen trousers. And I'm like, who am I anymore? She hasn't even seen the film, mate. She's just into the merch.
Really? You don't really watch films with her that much, do you?
We go, do you want to watch it? She's like, no. And you're like, but you want the merch? How does this work?
That's a bit like me when I go to American Sport. I don't want to watch it. I want to taste it. A big cup with New York Mets on it.
Rob, you always end on the same question. It might be difficult, this question, because obviously it's the kind of thing that would come up in couples therapy. So, Rob, would you like to ask a question?
Well, normally I ask, you know, if there's something your partner does parenting-wise that really annoys you, but you've never mentioned it because it could cause a row. But I imagine it will have come up or not, Jamelia.
You know, well, so what did come up was that I feel like sometimes he wants to be the fun one. And I think this is quite normal amongst dads, that they want to be the fun one and they leave the mom to be the bad guy. And I was like, I don't want to be the bad guy. I want to do the fun things as well. So I think, yeah, leaving me to
be the bad guy.
Yeah,
be the bad guy. That was one thing, but we're working on it.
To be fair, that happens a bit in our house, though, but it's only because I'm stupid. Where, like, if the kids go to me, Dad, jump off that. I go, all right. Where they won't. And they go, oh, you're... And then so you'll get annoyed. Go, oh, you're the phone. Well, you jump off it then. I'm down a slide at first in the rain here in my pants for a laugh. If you want to be the fun one, put some kids in.
Do you know what, though? And one of the things that... this is one of the things that I've actually loved seeing my husband do is learning how to play. I feel like that a lot of us can be a bit serious, and children, they require us to play with them. As you said, like, you know, jump off that, okay. And I think it kind of, you know, not to get too philosophical, but it makes you kind of reconnect with your inner child. And it's been lovely just looking, you know, I had to show him, like, how do you play tea parties and how do you, you know, how getting down to their level and all of that stuff. And it's been really lovely.
Yeah, I think it's true that, I mean, I don't think I've ever disconnected from my inner child, to be honest. I remember that when we started doing that in NCT group, and make sure that you're always talking to your child and chatting to them. And on the group, people were going, well, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know what to do with them. And me and Lou were like, we're chatting them all the time. Like, having full conversations and being silly. So I think some people are more suited to that than others, but it's a nice way to, you know, play with them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You can feel a bit silly, but you've got to, I think you've got to get over it. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Like, oh, my God. I forget that sometimes because our whole job is being stupid and silly. Like, at the school gates, I say stuff sometimes. They look at me like I'm insane. And I'm just like, oh, my God, what do you do in your house?
Oh, gosh. Well, the thing is, though, sometimes, you know, talking about, like, school gates and stuff like that, I think, what was it like in your house? Like, do you ever think, like, how boring it is in some people's houses? Just you know, and you shouldn't judge kids, but judging from their kids and the parents' demeanour, you're just a bit like...
Oh, mate, I can spot a banter vacuum from 3 miles away. And it's normally they can read and write really well. Why? Because nothing else is happening in that house. You know what I mean? They got to have a bit of banter as well. They got to talk to people.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That one's been employed for how neat their handwriting is at any stage of their life.
Exactly. How would you guys? Can I just ask you guys a question? Yeah. How would you feel if your kids weren't funny?
I wouldn't be like, oh god, that was a bit hack. That was a bit of an obvious joke you just made. But like, if they weren't fun, I think. Do you know what I mean? If they weren't a laugh. I mean, in my house growing up, I think being a laugh and humour was a big thing. Do you know what I mean? I think it played a big part of conversation and personality and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think having a really boring child, imagine
oh my god,
your child's like 14 and you go, oh my god, I think they might be really boring.
Yeah. Remember when you go around your mate's house, you walk in and you're like, oh, this is shit here, isn't it? The vibe in this house is shit. You go in the fridge and there's like just butter. You're like, what's that? Just butter. And then for me, if my kids weren't, I think being funny is a separate thing because you know, that's a subjective stuff, but being fun and having a sense of fun, which Joe was talking about, I think if they didn't, I think I'd have let them down as a parent because I think it's the parents that foster that atmosphere and that so that you're not, you know, they say stuff all the time, like not losing your cool with them, where, you know, you had friends growing up and they're like, don't do that, don't be, and they were all like, on them straight away.
Yeah.
So I think if they weren't fun, I'd say that's where me and Lou have let them down a bit by being too serious. I can't, I'll be honest with you, I can't see that happening. They're actually animals. it's been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing it. Thanks so much for listening as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'll even listen to this one, even though I know what I've said.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.